This is the Maternity Matters podcast from Riley Children's Health. Discussions to help you along the journey from the first trimester to your child's first year. Hi, everyone. Gabby Reith-Miller here from the Riley social media team. And today we're going to be talking to one of our Riley surgeons about a condition that can affect some of the premature babies that are treated in our NICU at Riley. Dr. Troy Markle joins me today. And thank you so much for taking the time to do this. I really appreciate it.
Yeah. Hi. Thanks for having me. I really appreciate you taking interest in this and appreciate being here for sure.
Great. So why don't you first fill us in a little bit on what your role is at Riley and the types of patients that you're commonly treating?
Sure. At Riley Hospital, I serve as a pediatric general surgeon, which basically means that I take care of all children who need general surgery on their chest or abdomen. And that age range can be anywhere from a newborn infant up to 18 to sometimes even 20 years or older.
Okay. And, you know, I spend time in the NICU talking to some of our patient families, and several times I've encountered a family that tells me that their premature baby had something called NEC, NEC. Can you fill us in on what that is and what it stands for?
Sure. So NEC stands for necrotizing enterocolitis, which is a mouthful of words. So that's why we say NEC for short, because it's a little bit easier to pronounce and say. But basically, it's a disease that we see in premature babies that affects the intestines. And usually it's a combination of prematurity, what we call intestinal dysbiosis, which basically just means bad bacteria in the intestines that get there. And then a lot of times feeding by mouth or by an intestinal tube. And so those three things tend to combine in a way that really makes the intestines very thick. Such that sometimes babies have bloody bowel movements, or even that the intestines perforate or get a hole in them. And that often requires surgery to fix.
And so how common is this in the premature population? I know parents of premature babies are watching out for them and likely have a NICU stay. So how prevalent is this?
Right. So in the United States alone, we have about 450,000 preterm babies born each year. And of those, about 100 to 110,000 are what we would call early preterm, which usually means less than 34 weeks of gestational age. And within that particular population, this affects about 7 to 10% of that early preterm group of patients. And unfortunately, it has a fairly high morbidity and mortality, with about 40 to 50% of those babies that are affected in that category passing away from this disease.
I mean, that's just heartbreaking for a family to have this life-threatening condition diagnosed in their baby. So aside from the mortality aspect here, what are some of the consequences of NEC? Are there children who have other conditions connected to this? How does that all work?
Yeah, so NEC is something that, has a lot of different effects. So there's obviously the acute effects that happen sort of, right in the here and now, where sometimes babies would need surgery to remove the intestine that's affected. And that can sometimes leave babies with what we call short gut syndrome, which is when they don't have enough intestine to be able to absorb milk or food. And sometimes those babies require either intestinal transplant or even what we call intestinal rehabilitation, which is almost like physical therapy, like you have for your knee or your hip or something like that, but only for your intestine. And so sometimes these babies require to be on IV nutrition for many, many years as they kind of recover from that illness. Unfortunately, NEC also has a lot of other comorbidities as well. So we find that a lot of the babies that suffer from NEC also have a lot of lung problems, and sometimes require oxygen for a long period of time. And some of them even have neurodevelopmental challenges as well. So it does impact a lot of different systems other than just the intestine for sure.
And so when these babies, maybe a premature baby arrives in the NICU, are there things to watch out for as parents or the care team that this child may be at risk of developing NEC or is doing so in the moment?
Yeah, that's the real problem with NEC, is that there's really not a way to predict which babies are going to be affected. We know that the preterm babies are the ones most at risk, but we don't have a tool right now to say, this baby is going to be, one to develop NEC and this baby's not. So we really don't have a good way to predetermine which babies are going to be affected. Now, I will say a lot of times, sort of the early stages of NEC can be, you know, just sort of very generalized symptoms. So sometimes babies develop abdominal distension, or maybe they have bloody stools. Sometimes they have temperature instability, and these are very vague symptoms that can kind of go along with a lot of different things, not just NEC. And so it's really kind of tough to hone in if, you know, does this baby have NEC or not? Sometimes we get babies transferred in from other hospitals that are already have a bowel perforation, in other words, a hole in the intestine that require emergent surgery. So, you know, we get babies from all over the state of Indiana, at different sort of stages of this process. But it'd be really a great opportunity if we were able to somehow predict which babies are going to go on to develop that.
And, you know, on this podcast, we try to give parents information, and some of the families that I've talked to that have children who have survived NEC have said just knowing ahead of time that this was a risk for their premature baby was helpful so that they could deal with it as this all happened to them. So what is the action plan when a child is diagnosed with this? What do you guys do? When does the surgical team get involved here to try to save this baby's life?
Right. Yeah, I think that's a common sort of comment that I hear from parents, you know, all over the hospital. And I'm involved with some national organizations as well that involve parent family advocates. And that's a very common comment, is that, you know, we didn't even know that this was something that to look out for. And I feel, you know, we certainly talk to families about, you know, other preterm or premature problems like lung problems or developmental problems, but it's very rare, I think, that we just sort of throw this out there. And it's challenging because as caregivers, you know, you don't want to overwhelm families, and you don't want to, you know, make them worried about things that may or may not need to be evaluated. And so that's certainly a challenge on our behalf, as being able to kind of really kind of tell parents and educate parents on what they need to know, and not necessarily stress them out about things that may or may not, you know, ever be needed. But I will say, you know, usually when babies present to the hospital, if they are, showing signs of NEC, whether it be distension or bloody bowel movements, or even more severe where they have a perforation, the surgical team is called immediately to the bedside to evaluate the patient. And we do that at all hours of the day. We have a surgical team in the hospital at Riley, all 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, so we can immediately evaluate the baby. And if surgery is needed, we have the capabilities to be able to perform surgery either in the operating room, or if they're that critical and unstable, we can perform surgery right at the bedside in the NICU.
Wow. And some of these babies born early are quite small. So is there, I guess, a minimum size that they need to be for these surgeries, or what's, I guess, the smallest baby that you've had to operate on like this?
Yeah, that's a great question. I would say, you know, these preterm babies are often very, very small. And I would say it's very common to have babies that require surgery who are less than, you know, 1500 grams or so, which is probably about 2.5 pounds or so. You know, the smallest baby I've ever operated on has been about 400 to 450 grams, which the baby could fit in the palm of my hand and was probably about a pound or less. I had to operate three times on that baby to help him, and miraculously he survived. And you know, we saw him back in the hospital, you know, at his follow-up visit, and we even did a nice little reunion ceremony here at about the year mark or so to come back and revisit with him. So it was great to see, you know, a kid who was that sick and that tiny and premature be able to kind of, you know, muster through and be able to survive and carry on. So it's great.
Wow. So the stories like that have got to be so uplifting for the team when you know that work
absolutely
you're doing can save a life like that.
Yeah, absolutely. For sure.
And what is that recovery like if a child makes it through that surgery and they're on the mend? How long of a process is that for them?
Yeah, I would say the premature babies are usually in the hospital until they reach that term sort of age. So, you know, if you can envision maybe a 24 week gestational age baby, you know, being born, they're probably going to be in the hospital until they're about, you know, somewhere between 36 and 40 weeks of gestation. So that's several months. And babies with NEC, as we mentioned, often have, you know, intestinal problems and sometimes need, you know, long-term nutritional support. And so it's very common for these babies to be in the hospital for months, you know, sometimes 6 months or more. So they do have a long stay, a long hospital stay. And that's, you know, obviously very challenging too for families and parents to be able to be off work and be away from other children and families to be at the bedside. And so, you know, it's a very challenging thing for the family unit too, to be able to kind of, you know, be around and support that their child as they go through this.
And if there's a parent listening, maybe they're saying, I want to do whatever I can to try to prevent NEC. Is there anything mm-hmm. that they can do, steps they can take while they're in the NICU to to try to keep their child from experiencing this?
Yeah, I would say the best thing that a family could do is to provide breast milk to their newborn baby. So breastfeeding and breast milk, human breast milk, has been shown to be the best sort of fight against this that we have. It often provides a lot of different chemicals and cytokines and things like that within the breast milk to help fight things like this. The other thing that I would say is becoming more and more investigated is the use of probiotics. So we've heard a lot you know, over the years about antibiotics helping to fight infections and things like that. Those are sort of the fighting bad bacteria. Well, probiotics are good bacteria that tend to help replenish the good bacteria in the intestine. And so there's a lot of advocates for probiotic use out there as well. And then lastly, I would just say, you know, I think it's probably a good idea to have families be, you know, very educated on this. One of the things they could certainly do is to be involved with what's called the NEC Society. It's necsociety.org. And it's a group that was founded several years ago by a couple of mothers who lost their babies to this problem. And so they've been very, very involved and have advocated for the family unit and for, you know, the patients, and have really tried to unite stakeholders in NEC to come together and find a cure for this problem.
And like you just touched on right there, there is no cure currently for NEC, right. But there is that work being done to try to research this more. Tell right. me a little bit about how active that is. If you can just summarize quickly here, the work that even you're doing to right. try to get more information on this.
Yeah, so you hit the nail on the head. There is no cure, unfortunately. And like I said, despite, you know, 30 years or more of you know, working to increase and to improve neonatal survival, we really haven't made a dent in NEC. In fact, some studies would say that the NEC rate has actually gone up and that the mortality has gone up a little bit as well. But there are a number of groups across the country who are actively doing research on NEC and trying to find a cure, whether that involves novel probiotic delivery systems or whether that involves different medications to sort of block those inflammatory receptors that help promote NEC. Or what we're doing in our lab is looking at stem cell therapy to actively treat NEC. And so we have some studies that are ongoing with hopefully some clinical trials to start in the next couple of years where we actually use stem cells to repopulate that injured intestine to help repair it.
Wow, amazing work there. And I just want to end on this note here. If a parent is listening to this because they did just get that diagnosis for their child, you've had the chance to work with patients who have survived, who have gone on to, you know, reach more birthdays. And I met one patient from Riley who is starting, you know, kindergarten soon and everything right. like that. So can you just kind of share too, like the fact that because of the treatment available at places like Riley, some of these babies do have the chance to go on and live their lives with their families?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You know, NEC is certainly a devastating problem to have, but you know, it's not, you know, it's not the end of the line for everybody. It is certainly a fight. And I would very much encourage parents who are going through this to keep pushing, keep fighting for their infant and for their loved one. But you know, you're absolutely right. There are babies who, and you know, obviously the majority of them who make it through this and go on to, you know, as you said, you know, celebrate birthdays and Christmases and Hanukkahs and those sorts of things as well. You know, I think we will keep doing what we do best, which is, you know, taking care of these kiddos and actively trying to find a cure And, you know, we certainly just ask that the families do their best as well in advocating for their infant and helping to fight for them as well.
Well, that is so helpful to hear your insight on all of this. Really appreciate you taking the time to chat with us today.
Yeah, absolutely. Again, I appreciate you having me.